Well, we're continuing our series today, Olympic Moment. And last week, Pastor Dion was here and spoke to us about silver and how just like silver is refined in a crucible, God uses the trials of life to refine us, to make us more in the image of His Son, to make us a reflection of Him. And today I want to talk just a little bit about that. Just a little bit, just we'll land a little bit on that message and just hit some of the highlights of that message. And for those of you that were here last week, Pastor Dion mentioned something else that was kind of interesting. He stated that he was one of the swimmers in that intro video. You remember that? Well, we had no idea. We're like, Dion, you've been holding out on us, man. Look at this. And so this week, we actually looked into it. We were like, was that really him? And so, I'll just say this. Based on our investigation, and for the sake of team unity and team harmony here at the chapel and Dion's ego, that the final conclusions of our investigation, they're still pending, okay? And we're just going to kind of, we're going to leave them there. We're just going to kind of leave them there, all right? So thank you for coming today. If you're a first-time guest, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome to the chapel. And today's topic, what we're going to be talking about is going for the gold. Last week we talked about silver, the trials associated with refining silver. And Dion mentioned that, you know, all of us, we're either going into, we're in, or we're coming out of a trial. And when we're in the midst of a trial, he gave us some very discreet, some very pointed things that we should be doing, some questions that we should be asking. And one of those questions is this, is that, God, give me the wisdom to face this trial. Another good question that Dion said for us is this, God, what would bring you the most glory in the midst of this trial? And so when we're in the midst of a trial, we shouldn't try to run away from it. We need to stay up, as Dion said, up under it. Because when we're up under that trial, God can work in us. He wants us there so he can work in us. And the last point that I want to mention to you about this is we need to be in a place where when we're in a trial, we're looking at God as the only provision out. We are looking at him to enable us and to see us through. And in the midst of that, we are asking God to change us, not just to change the circumstances. It's so easy for us to say, hey, you know what, I just want those circumstances to go away. But God wants to work in us, and he wants to change us. So those were some great, great points. Talking about silver and how silver is refined and how God wants to refine us. But today we're talking about gold, going for gold. And given the theme, the Olympic moment, that being our series, when you think about going for the gold, to me anyway, it conjures up a couple of images, and there's one in particular, what I call just a going for the gold moment. And take a look at this video, because I think it highlights that. It's kind of the epitome of that right here.
Michael Johnson with his first step toward track immortality. Michael Johnson taking it out fairly casually right now as they swing around the back stretch.
We haven't seen him going full speed in any of the qualifying rounds. He's been holding back, trying to save something perhaps for this final in the 200 meters, but he's running now.
Now he's picked it into gear, and Michael Johnson reaches back, coming to the head of the straightaway, and Michael Johnson has the lead. Now through the straight, and Michael Johnson opens up a huge advantage. Michael Johnson is going, and he's cruising for the finish. Michael Johnson coming home all by himself. Michael Johnson is halfway to history.
That guy's pretty fast, isn't he? Don't we wish you all could run like that, right? Not only did he win the race, but he won the gold medal. And that was from the 96 Atlanta Summer Games. And Michael Johnson, over the course of his career, ended up winning 5 Olympic gold medals. And in doing so, he also won 9 world championship gold medals. And I don't know how many world records he set. He has one that still stands today for the 200 meters that he set at the 96 Games. And when you look at that, I mean, that's a lot of gold, even for a guy from Dallas, you know? That's where he's from. And so when we think about gold, when you think about gold and when you see it, it kind of brings up in us something. It causes us to react a certain way. I mean, gold does something to things, doesn't it? I mean, it turns the ordinary into extraordinary. Take this table, for instance. I mean, it's just a regular table. But if we were to wheel out one made of gold that looked just like it, it'd be different, wouldn't it? It'd be a lot different. And so gold symbolizes something to us. It has value. It means it's the best. It has this allure about it. And everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows what it is. And that's been the case throughout all of human history. And so gold has had this interesting relationship throughout all of human history. You know, countries, entire countries have been conquered because of it. Countries have been established or further established in hopes of finding it. And you're living in one of those. And other countries have been ruined because of it. And so gold has got just this incredible relationship with us and how we view it and what it symbolizes. And today, our message today is the gold is going to symbolize the prize. The prize that we're pursuing. The prize that in the race known as our life, we're moving after. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So when we talk about going for the gold, we're going to be talking about the race known as our life and the prize that we're pursuing. But before we talk about this over here, that being the prize, we need to understand this concept of the race and our life. You know, everybody in this room is running at least one race. You are on a race. Now, some of you may be going slow, some may fast, some may be doing this, but you're on a race. Every person that has ever lived has run a race, at least one race. There may be multiple stages, and during that race, as Dion talked last week, there may be trials and other stuff, but it is a race nonetheless. But the key point for us today is that while there are a zillion, if that's even a word, races that we could choose from, there is only one race that matters. There is only one race that truly matters. There is only one race that has ever mattered. And that's what we're going to talk about here first. What is that race? So if you have your copy of God's Word, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's about 80% of the way through the Bible. You know, just having your Bible and opening it up is a good thing. Just getting to practice, having God's Word right in front of you. So I encourage you to bring your Bible here. We'll shoot it here up on the screen. But here it is, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, some of you may be saying, well, why are we in Hebrews? Wasn't that written for the Jewish believers in Christ a long time ago? Does it apply to us today? And the short answer to that is yes, it was predominantly written for the Jewish believers a long time ago. But it applies to you and I today. And the reason for that is this, is that we are Christ followers or can be Christ followers. And the Apostle Paul, I'm going to take a little sideline here just for a second to explain this fully. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians spoke to this. And you know what he said in Ephesians? He said this. He said that people who are not of a Jewish heritage, and that I would guess is most of us in this room watching on TV or on the internet, that we don't have a Jewish heritage. And so the Bible would describe us as Gentiles, okay? That's just the term used. And Paul writes it this way. He says, prior to Christ, the Gentiles were outside of the covenant between God and his chosen people, the Jewish nation of Israel. The Gentiles were outside. And because the Gentiles were outside, they had no access to God, none. And because they had no access to God, there's no hope, no hope whatsoever. That's not a good place to be. To be in a place where you don't have access to God, to be in a place where you don't have any hope. But the great news, the incredible news is this, and this is what Paul states, is that through Christ, through his shed blood and what happened on the cross, we have been reconciled, Jew and Gentile, together in one body and through one spirit have access to one Father. Did you catch that?
Amen.
Through Christ and his shed blood, we have been reconciled, Jew and Gentile together in one body, and through one spirit we have access to the Father. That is an incredible truth. I mean, it is profound in what Christ did. And because of that, things written with a flavor for and things written about and to the Jewish believers in Christ, it applies to us today as well, all right? So when we look at this text in Hebrews, it's speaking to us, and it's talking about not a race, it's talking about the race. And there is the race. And basically, you can boil it down this way. To run the race is one of belief. Do you believe in Jesus? That is the question. Do you believe in who he was? Do you believe in who he is? And do you believe what he's going to do? If you believe, you will be over here and you will be running the only race that matters. Everything else, every other race, every other thing, it is a race of unbelief as it relates to Jesus. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be harsh. I say that because I care for you. And I say that because the truth is the truth. And that is the truth. And at the chapel, we are serious about communicating the truth as it relates to ensuring that every man, woman, and child has repeated opportunities to hear and see the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's the race? What's the race you're running? Is it a race of belief? Or is it a race of unbelief? And some of you sitting in this room, you may be saying, you know what? I think I believe, but I have questions. And because I have questions, does that mean that I'm over here in the unbelief camp? And let me just say this, that there is a significant difference between what I'll call uncertainty and unbelief, all right? Unbelief is this. It is you have questions about things, and there's maybe not good answers to, or there's not for you a good understanding of that, but because of those questions, people discount everything. They won't believe anything. And where does that lead to? That leads down a path of what we'll call subjective truth. That leads down a path of works-based religious activity. That leads down a path of things that just are not as they should be. Faith, on the other hand, faith in spite of uncertainty allows belief. Faith in spite of uncertainty allows belief. And so even though you might have some questions, hey, I have questions about God, I got questions about Jesus, I got questions about the Bible. Well, guess what? Join the club. There's nobody that has it all figured out, all right? And so you don't have to have everything figured out. That's the beauty of faith, that faith will overcome. Faith will overcome that uncertainty. And I'm not talking about a faith that just says, hey, I'll believe anything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a faith that is vibrant, a faith that is dynamic, a faith that is growing and learning. That's the kind of faith that I'm talking about. And so when we look at this and we say the race, and the race hinges upon what we do and what we believe about Jesus. And Jesus himself spoke to this. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse, you know, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road of destruction, and many are on it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and a few are on it. And Jesus further states in John 10:9, he says, I am the gate, and whoever comes through me will be saved. That's the truth. So the race, the only race that matters, is one of belief or one of unbelief. So there's a couple of points that I want to mention with regards to this today. And you have an outline in your worship folder. You can capture these down. They're going to be up on the screen. So there's 4 points with regards to the only race that matters. And the first point is this, is that it's by invitation only. It's by invitation only. And you're saying, well, what does that mean? It means that God himself has to invite you to run the only race that matters. The good news is that everybody's invited. His word says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires everyone to be saved. Everyone to be saved. Not just some, everyone to be saved. And in John 6:44, God's word states that all who come to Jesus are drawn by God. There's an invitation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, you have been saved by grace through faith. So there is an invitation that is required, and each of us have an invitation, but it requires a personal response to that. And so if you're sitting in this room, you're watching on TV or on the internet, after today, you can no longer say that you've not been invited. You can no longer say that you've not been invited on the only race that matters. Because you're here and God is inviting you. The second point I want to mention with regards to the only race that matters is this, is that the race starts with a belief in Jesus. You've got to get invited, but then you have to believe. And I'm not talking a belief here that says, yeah, Jesus was some cool dude that hung out by the Sea of Galilee and had some neat sandals and had a soup kitchen. That's not it. Nor is it he was just a good teacher. Nor is it that he was a great prophet. The belief we're talking about here is that we understand and we believe with our heart that Jesus, being in the exact likeness and image of God, humbled himself, came to this place, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, suffered, bore the penalty for our sin, my sin, your sin, died a physical death, rose again, conquering the grave and death, ascended into heaven, and now is sitting at the right hand at the throne of God. That is the belief that enables you to get on and to run the right race. That is the belief that's required. Point number three is this, is that the only race that matters is one that consistently and constantly bears witness to the truth. Consistently and constantly bears witness to the truth. The Apostle Paul was great in talking about this to not only the early church, but the early church leaders. He always was talking about, follow me, do as I do. Let's run the race with perseverance. Consistently and constantly bearing witness to the truth. And what's the truth? The truth is Jesus. For he says himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last point I want to mention here with regards to the only race that matters is this, is that it's one that follows through and finishes strong. Follows through and finishes strong. So here we have it. Been invited. We have a belief now. We're consistently and constantly bearing witness to the truth, and it's so easy in our life to get in a rhythm, to be there and to be going down this rhythm and knowing what to do and how to do it, and some things can creep in. Some things can start happening then that would prevent us from finishing strong. There's some things that can creep in and hinder us. There's some things that can creep in and entangle us. And it's a great question to ask, not only yourself, but others around you. It's a great question for us as a ministry to ask. Are we consistently and constantly bearing witness to the truth? Are we following through and are we finishing strong? And is it possible for somebody to be on the right race and be running the right race, yet at some point in time get distracted, at some point in time lose sight of what they're pursuing? Let's take a look in Scripture and see if we can find an answer to that. We're going to be in Judges, which is in the Old Testament. It's toward the front of your Bible. We're going to be in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read this, and then we'll come back and digest this here in just a moment. Starting in the 23rd verse, this is in the 8th chapter of book of Judges. But Gideon told them, and them being the Israelites, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And he said, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. Now if you jump down to verse 27, Gideon made the gold into an ephod, which he placed in Ophrah, not Oprah, Ophrah, his town. All Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. It became a snare to Gideon and his family. So here we have Gideon, and most of you know the story of Gideon. He was the fifth judge of Israel, and this angel of the Lord showed up one day and told him and said, Gideon, mighty warrior, I want you to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midians. And Gideon's going, what are you talking about? I'm the least in my father's house, and my father belongs to the least of the tribes of Israel. I can't do anything. And so he went through a belief stage, and he got to a place where God did use him, and God worked through him, and God worked around him. And you know what? Gideon with 300 men, started off with over 30,000, they whittled it down, 300 men, delivered Israel from the hands of the Midians. So this is where we pick up the story. And the Israelites are looking at Gideon going, man, you're the dude. You are the guy. You're the hero. Be our king. And Gideon's going, no, that's not for me. And it's not for my son either. So we know from his answer that what his motivation was wasn't power or position. But what did he do? He asked for something. He said, I don't want that, but boy, I could use some gold. Why don't you give me some of that gold? And so the Israelites are like, hey, sure, you earned it. You deserve it. Yeah, have all you want. Oh, and by the way, have this nice purple stuff and all these other things and this and that. And so Scripture talks to how Gideon took that and he made something. He made something that resembled that which only the high priest had. And Gideon wasn't in the line of Aaron. And so he made something out of the prize that he got from his race. And so he ended up at the very end exchanging what was the prize for something else. And it just so happens it was gold. And for us today, the prize in which we pursue is so important. It is so important to us. And if you're a believer in Christ, you've been invited, you've expressed a belief, and you're running a race, the prize that you're pursuing is very, very important. So I want to talk to you about three things about that. Three items about the prize in which we're pursuing. The first major theme here is that people without a focus on mission will get off mission. That's what happened to Gideon. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. It can happen to our marriages. It can happen to our families. It can happen to entire ministries. People without a focus on mission will get off mission. That's just the way it is. And so it's vital for us to stay focused on the mission. And that is why you hear so many times from up here, every man, woman, and child. That is our mission. That is why we're here. That is what God has called us to do. We want to stay focused on mission. Now, with regards to the prize, each of us, if we're a believer in Christ, we're running a race. And we are pursuing something. Every one of us is pursuing something in our race. And you may be saying, well, I'm not sure what I'm pursuing. Am I really pursuing something? Whether you know it or not, you are. And if you don't know what you're pursuing, if you answer this question, it will help you get that perspective. And the question is this: how do you define success in life? How do you define success in life? If you define success in life, that will help you understand what it is you're pursuing. The second point is this, is that as we go and as we pursue that prize and as we understand that prize, it will reveal our motivations. And if we're honest enough with ourselves and we ask some tough questions, Why are we pursuing that? What's the purpose of that? Is it really what I should be doing? Those are some tough questions. But if we're honest with ourselves and we allow God to speak to us at that time, some amazing things can happen in our journey and in our race. The last point with regards to the prize is this, is that if you're a believer and you understand and you know and you have a belief in Christ and you're running the race, you're either going to be running on two lanes. It's one lane or the other. And it's either you're running on a lane and you're heading towards a snare, or you're running on a lane and persevering as somebody who's spared. Now, we already talked about the snare. That was the track Gideon was on. He had the eye for the prize, the wrong prize, and it ended up being a snare for him and his family and all of Israel. But Paul, on the other hand, Paul ran a race that was worthy. Paul ran a race, the Apostle Paul ran a race as one spared. And what do I mean by spared? Spared in this, in that by God's grace and the shed blood of Christ, we have been spared. And because of that, it gives us the ability to live a life of grace. That doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. That doesn't mean we're not going to have issues. We're still going to have joys, pains, hurts, struggles. But what people see and experience in the midst of those with us is they see a picture of God's grace. They don't see a picture of somebody running towards a snare. They see a picture of somebody persevering towards the prize as what I call a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. We're not perfect, but we need to provide testimony and bear witness to the gospel of God's grace in the midst of our race. That's what we need to be doing. And so can we, is there a way for us to say, okay, I want to do those things. Man, it's my heart's desire to be consistent and to be constant in bearing witness to the truth. I want to follow through. I want to finish strong. How do I do that? Is there a way? There is a way. So flip back with me to Hebrews. Same place, 12th chapter. So the first verse, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So how are we going to do that? Well, the second verse provides us the answer, and that is, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the throne at the right hand of God. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. Now, when you look at the Greek word that was translated as fix here, not only does it mean focus, but it has a much larger meaning to it. And it means don't be looking around. Don't be looking around over here, over there. Focus. And it's so easy for us in our race as Christians to get comfortable, to get in a rhythm, to get moving. And we find ourselves in a place where we keep Jesus in view, but not in focus. And so we look around, oh yeah, he's over there. Okay, but I'm over here. Oh, he's over, you know. And so we have this tendency to keep him in view, but not to keep him in focus. And our challenge is that we need to absolutely be focused on Jesus. Why? The author and perfecter of our faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word author, it does not mean that Jesus is sitting at some computer somewhere writing the story of your life and you're just like, oh, please let it have a good ending. That's not what it means. The word here means that he is the originator. He is the example. He is the pioneer. So when you look at faith, Jesus is the example. Jesus is faith. He is the author of faith. And not only that, but he's the perfecter, meaning he perfected it. He has perfect faith. So we're to focus on Jesus, who is the example of faith, who has perfected faith, and is perfect in his faith, and wants to do the same thing in us. And if we're focused on him in our race, We will consistently and constantly bear witness to the truth. We will follow through, and we will finish strong. Now, I mentioned earlier that about this prize that we're pursuing. And doesn't the Bible talk about, you know, prizes that you can get, rewards? I mean, Paul even mentions it a couple of times, and other scripture testifies, and they call them crowns. And are there things that people who are running the right race and finish strong and follow through, are there things that they get? The answer is yes. And we don't have time here today to get into all that, but you have to know and understand that it does matter how you run your race. It matters. It absolutely matters. And the crowns that are spoken of in the Bible, you can't buy them. You can't inherit them. You can't conquer for them. You can't trade for them. You can't make them. You only get them one way. They are given by the King of Kings. That's the only way. And what's the King of Kings doing? He's looking at the race you run. So as we end here today, there's a couple of additional points I want to make. And the key takeaway for us, the what we call the unmistakable truth for us today is that the prize that we need to be pursuing, the prize that we need to be running after, the prize that we need to be giving our life to, it's not an object. It never has been an object, and it never should be an object, because if it is an object in your life, guess what? You're heading for a snare. It's not an object. It's a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the one we need to be pursuing. He is the one that deserves our attention. He is the one that deserves our allegiance. He is the one we should be running after. Pastor Benji and the praise team, they're going to be leading us in a song here. And while they're playing this song, listen to the words of this song. Let them just fall on you. And in the moment, in that moment, ask God to speak into you. Ask God, God, what is it you would have me to learn? What is it you would have me to take away from today? Be the king. Are we willing? Are we able to let Jesus be the king of our lives? And as I mentioned before, the last point for today is this, is that our race, the race we run, it will be judged based on how well we testify to the gospel of God's grace. With your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers, with the person that you just met, how well are we testifying to the gospel of God's grace? If you would, bow your heads and pray with me. I'm going to be speaking to two people here today, two groups of people here today. The first group are those that came here today and are watching on the internet or on TV, and they would have said to start that, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I definitely was landed and definitely was on the unbelief side. But I understand some things today. I understand some things differently today. I don't want to be on the broad gate and the wide path. I want to walk through the narrow gate, and I know that narrow gate is Jesus. And for the first time in my life, I understand that I need to trust in Him. And I need to trust in Him. And my faith in Him for the first time says, yes, I believe that He did indeed die for me and that He rose again and paid the penalty for my sins. If that is you today, and you want to get off the race that you're running, and you want to be running the right race and get right with God, I would ask you to do this. I can't pray you into heaven. Only God working through His Spirit by what His Son did can make that happen. But I can't facilitate that. I can lead you in a prayer, but you need to mean it with your heart. And if that's you, just pray after me. Dear Lord, please forgive my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me, and it's in his name I place my trust, my hope. I want so desperately to be running the right race. Heavenly Father, forgive me. Redeem my life. If that is you today, if that was your prayer, while every eye still closed and head still bowed, if that was your prayer and you meant it, I'd like to pray for you. But I need to know who you are. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want you to lift your hand up. Just lift your hand high. Lift it high all over the room. Lift it up so I can pray with you. I see you over there. God bless you. God bless you. I see you there. I see you in the back. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I see you up front. God bless you. Father, may you seal their decision today. May your Spirit be upon them, strengthen them, Father, and may their race in the subsequent days to come, may it be one that bears much fruit and brings you glory as they testify to your grace. Now, the second group that I want to talk to today are those of us in this room who have professed a belief in Christ, but today, through this time, God has spoken to you and he has said to you, you know what? It's time for you to reevaluate your priorities. You've been running after the wrong prize. You need to run after my son. If that is you, and in the honesty of this moment, if you would just lift your hand so I can pray for you. I see your hands. God, you see hands and hearts, hands all over this room. Father, I would just ask, Lord, that your Spirit would minister to them, speak to them, strengthen them, Father. Give them the courage and the wisdom to run the race that's marked out for them well, to bear witness to your gospel, your incredible gospel of grace. And it's in your Son's name we ask these things. Amen.